for your kiddos next door. Appreciate Flo taking that on this morning. Some idea of Emmanuel, God with us. And how many of you guys are how many of you guys are done with your Christmas shopping? If it's done, it's done, right? I mean, if it's not, tough luck. Actually, it's usually right around that time, the last minute someone comes up with something, you know, someone gives you a card, and you're like, oh, we didn't do anything for them, so you're always kind of scrambling at the last minute. But this year, I think most of what I got, or I bought, I did online. And so you play that waiting game with the mail. It's like, is it going to come? Is it going to get here? And so far, it's interesting. You start giving out these gifts, and we talk about God coming and bringing us the ultimate gift of His Son on Christmas. God with us. And every time, you know, I think of this time, we talk about sort of the struggle in Bucksport of, you know, the town had a nativity, someone fought and get it removed, and we live in an era where someone just has to claim that they're offended. And everyone kind of is expected to just bend to that whim. And yet, you know, I stand back and I'm a little perplexed because I'm like, this is Christmas. We've been celebrating Christmas for a really long time. People know what it, you know, it's not like this, something sprung up, something new, and people are like, what is this all about? You know, many of us just grew up knowing that in the stores they were going to play Christmas music that spoke about Jesus and His birth. And people were like okay with it, whether they were believers or not. You know, it seems like everyone else sort of gets a sort of special cave out for whatever they believe. And we were kind of like, okay, you believe what you do, you do your thing, right? And then all of a sudden when it comes to anything Christian, everyone's offended and we're expected to take, wait a minute, you know, we don't ask for a whole lot. You know, Christmas and Easter are kind of the big deals for us. You know, kind of leave us alone and let us have our thing. Anyways, I'm venting. But we turn around and have this idea of Christ at Christmas, and then what next? You know, at this point, if it's decorated, it's going to be decorated. Things are out and about. I ain't putting anything else up. Except our Christmas duck. I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little sad. Now, in our house, somehow, I don't know how it started. Probably when Lauren was just little. That we have our nativity set up. And I whined enough over the last, you know, 30 years of marriage that the wise men weren't there that first Christmas. So I kind of whined enough that my wife puts it in another room. So we have the wise men kind of traveling. They're on their way, but they're in a different room. And somewhere along the line, we had a little rubber ducky that was hanging out with the wise men. And so I don't know how it happened. It just kind of happened. He just kind of tagged along. I figured, you know, if you gave a little drummer boy, you can have a little Christmas duck. And so my daughter and I would take turns of moving the little Christmas duck in among the wise men, and sometimes they're holding him, and sometimes he's riding the camel, and he was doing all this. And this year, he's gone. It's a blue Christmas at the Tabor household. So we got to find a new Christmas duck. But pretty soon it'll be time to be packing things away. And some of you will let things linger for a little while, and there's some people who celebrate all year round because their lights never come down. Some of you, Christmas Eve, will be packing things all up. Christmas morning, they'll be gone and out of the way, and everything will be all cleaned up and vacuumed and tidied up. But then what? You know, we talk about sort of the lasting impact of Christmas, the lasting impact of Christ. And sometimes I look at in the world around us, I almost think Thanksgiving leftovers last longer than our thoughts about Jesus at Christmas. You know, and having received Him, and we talk about Emmanuel, God with us, the gift of Christ, We sing it this morning. Like I said, you can go and turn on the radio and people are talking about it. People are celebrating. The world all kind of lends its ear towards God coming into this world. And yet, just as quickly, want to pack them away and have nothing to do with them again until maybe next year. And I don't know about you, but you know, you think of your gifts and what you're going to buy, and some of you put a lot of thoughts into what you get people. You know, you're looking for that perfect gift of knowing them and what do they use and how can you give it. And I always find it interesting that come the day after Christmas, the return line is so long. Of people just can't wait to give back what was given to them. And I was thinking about this, and as Christ came into this world, remember, the prophecies were talking about the Messiah was going to come. Israel was supposed to be expecting their Messiah. Actually, when the wise men traveled through, they came to Herod's and asked him, and said, look, where is this king? And they pulled up the scribes, and the scribes were able to pull out, oh, he's born in Bethlehem. The scriptures prophesied he was going to come, and he will be in Bethlehem. And that's where they send him off. And the world just kind of missed it. We have angels who spoke to the shepherds who pointed him in the way, but no one was expecting him, even though he was promised to be coming. And wonderful prophecies. Isaiah says this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I got to resist the urge to sing this. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This was the Messiah that they were expecting. And when Jesus came, what did they do? John tells us he came into his own, and what? And his own received him not. To them he gave the right. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to him he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on his name, who were born not of the blood, but of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the question always comes down to, what do you do with Jesus? And here Israel had their Messiah, their long-expected one, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, all the ones that they were anticipating. He was there. And yet they turned him away. And we see throughout ministry that Jesus ministered, and the religious leaders were prodding him, were trying to question him and trying to trick him and trying to turn the people against him. We see this progressing until finally we see their utter rejection of their Messiah. The perfect gift of God. God himself in the flesh. And what? They want to return it. And for me, I think the challenge comes in is, you know, we're so free to talk about Christmas at Christmas and talk about Christ. And I hope you use this opportunity, because Christmas and Easter is one of those rare opportunities that we can actually talk to people, invite them to church and come to a concert and come to, you know, a candlelight service. We can invite people, and people are receptive this time of year. And then oftentimes when this opportunity has come, it goes, and people what? Close your ears. It was mentioned, you know, last Sunday night, you know, we had over 100 people packed in here. And the question is, where are they this morning? And I trust some of them are in their own churches this morning, but I dare say probably a lot just don't go. James warns us, if anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. What are we going to do with Jesus? You know, when the lights are gone and the nativity set's packed away, what are we going to do with Jesus? And encourage us to be doers of the word. It has its perfect work in our life. Not just that one time of year, but always. And we sing songs not of joy, of Christmas. You know, many of us know these lyrics by heart, and we sing them unto the Lord at come every Christmas, and then we don't utter anything again until another year goes by. Now, I'm not saying you have to go out and sing your favorite Christmas song all year around. But shouldn't the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ be on our lips always? Not just time of year. The disciples were actually questioned on this. Because Jesus had gathered a multitude and he started to preach some hard things. And they all started to leave. And Jesus turns to his disciples and Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" And Simon Peter answers him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus turns to everyone else and looks at them and says, "Look, they're all returning me. I'm the gift they don't want. How about you?" And I pray my words are like Peter's. It's like, "Lord, where else can I go? We have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And ask God to make a living change in our lives, that we live for him every day. Because, folks, the gift that we have of God is so great, beyond measure. You know, underneath, well, actually, it's not underneath the tree because our dog and cat will eat our gifts if we put them underneath the tree. So we put them under. So Christmas Eve, our poor animals are put away so we can put the gifts out. So we have them Sunday, we have them Christmas morning to put out. And over the years, you know, my wife and I, we've got to the point where we kind of pick out our big gift. We kind of know. And so I know one of my big gifts. I know what it is. And it's waiting for me. And I'm like, "Ooh, I can't wait to get it." So I tried everything. I was like, "Hon, you know, I know what it is. I might as well open it." And she's like, "Go away." I'm like, "Oh. Well, I could really use this item." She goes, "You got to wait." So I've tried to come up with every excuse in the book to open it for the last, I don't know, we've had it almost for a month now. And I'm like, "I want to do it." And of course, Christmas Eve, I'll pull the whole, "You know, it's Christmas Eve. It's almost time." And my wife, she's stubborn. Pray for her. She was just say no. I mean, it's just like, "Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is." See, I have other stuff under the tree, and I don't know what it is. So it doesn't bug me. But the one I know is staring at me. I can see it. It talks to me when I sleep. But folks, the gift of God that we have from him is so beyond anything else we have that it should not compare to anything else that we have. And so it's interesting. I was trying to come up with a picture that come along with all this. And I kept coming back to this little picture. That one gift that is precious, and you know, I always think of, you know, the little girl who gets that little baby doll that is just drags it everywhere. Our oldest one had a little doll named Gwen, and she got it when she was just little, and she dragged that thing all over. She left it everywhere. You ever had that? And so we had many times had to make a round trip, go back because Gwen got left somewhere. And as a good parent, you go back and it's like, ah. So finally we were somewhere and we found another Gwen. So we had a substitute Gwen just in case. But she just loved that little doll. I just can't think of this little girl here who just loves her teddy bear. Just the greatest gift. Folks, the greatest gift we have is Jesus. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians, it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The gift of his son, the gift of eternal, all these things. And so I have a list of things this morning that are included in the gift of God, Emmanuel, God with us. And I think if we take heart of all that we have in him, that folks, Jesus is the gift that keeps giving, not something we want to pack away. The first one is we have received new life. We have received new life. 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This new life we have is a life that's worth living. It's a life that has meaning to it. It has a purpose. It has a cause. The Bible says, I was lost. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. If I was left to my own devices, I would destroy myself. And yet, because of the life I have in Christ, everything is different. He gives us new life. You know, it's interesting with COVID and, you know, especially early on, there was that threat of death, you know. I mean, everyone was pretty scared. I remember one of the first times walking into, it was Tozer's. I was walking around the corners, and masks weren't mandatory, but you had those people that were really nervous were wearing a mask. And I came across the corner, and there was a gentleman who had a mask and rubber gloves on. And he came around the corner, and there I was, unmasked and ungloved. And the fear I could see in his eyes, because I was, you know, we walked around the corner, and there we were. And it was so palpable, his fear, that I was going to kill him. Sin brings death. We see this in the world today. The choices, decisions it's making. As it gets further from God, we're seeing not an increase in life, we're seeing an increase in death. And yet, as Christians, by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he gives us life, that you may have life, what, more abundant, the Bible says. We have something worth living for. You know, my heart breaks to our friends in Canada. I don't know if you've been watching, but they've been increasing their assisted suicide up there. I believe last year, assisted suicide was the first or the second leading cause of death among Canadians. And they're dropping it down to now minors can now. Now they've dropped it down to not just physical ailments, but also mental disabilities now. They're dropping it down. It is easier now to go into a doctor's office and say, I want to end my life, than it is to say, I want to live. And it's like, that's just from the pit of hell. And there are so many people who are struggling now where they think it'd be easier to die than it is to live. Folks, let me encourage you. Christ gives life. And it's a life worth living. It's a life with purpose and a cause. It's a life where we are not alone. Think about this. In here, in Christ, we are given this new life, and then we are promised that we are never alone. The book of Deuteronomy says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. One of the biggest struggles people have in the world today is loneliness, which seems insane. Because it seems like you can't get away from people. You know, with social media, we know what everyone's doing. You all have that friend that you know what they had for breakfast this morning. I don't want to know what you had for breakfast this morning. And yet they want to pour out their whole life and dump it on there. And yet so many people are alone. You know, Friday was my birthday. And, you know, people posted on Facebook. And I got, I don't know, over 100 friends who said happy birthday. And some of them, I don't even know who they are. Some of them were like, who's this person? I said, hold on, let me click on that. Oh, yeah, now I know. I mean, it's one of those things that we put on this facade of so superficial. You know, the big push to live in this meta world. I don't want to live in a world where I got to put goggles on and interact with imaginary people. In the midst of this world, in the loneliness that is in it, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus says, I will never let you down. What a wonderful gift that is. No matter the struggle, no matter how deep the pain, Jesus is there. The Bible says that in here we have given new life. We're promised that we'll never be alone. One of the indescribable gifts he gives us is that we can rejoice in our troubles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. Being a Christian does not make life easy. But he gives us strength that's beyond ourselves, beyond what I can do on my own. Then in here he comes and fills us, that we know wherever we go through, he will see us through. What a wonderful gift that is. And if you are pressed, you're not crushed. Perplexed, you don't be in despair. In your persecution, you are not forsaken. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Think about that. That's a pretty incredible thing to have in our life. I don't know if you've seen the commercial of these, you know, veggies and fruits and these little pills that people are taking. They give you your va-va-voom. I don't know if you've seen that or not. It's like, oh, just take these pills and it'll give you the energy and strength to do all that you want. Can I tell you something? Jesus is better than any pill. He gives you all the essentials you need in this life. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Interesting, as a little child, we learned that song. I've got the joy, 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 joy. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And of course, my favorite line, the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on an attack. I had the joy of the Lord in my life in the middle of it all. I could lose everything, but if I have Jesus, I have everything. Folks, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, he has given you a new life. He has promised you to never be alone. You can rejoice in your troubles. And folks, let me tell you, he loves you so very much. I suppose this kind of goes along with the idea of never being alone. But in here is the love of God that transcends all. John reminds us, says, in this the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This could be your favorite Christmas verse. See, Jesus came. Why? Because he loves you. He left heaven. He left the glory. Laid it all aside for you. For you. As in, this is love. Not that we love him. Listen, he deserves my love. You know, we talk about all the gifts of God. He left glory to come here and live like us. You talk about, a big step down. You know, I look forward to heaven. I look forward to a place where no more pain, no more sorrow. He left that and came here to a place full of sorrows, full of struggles, where he was despised and rejected, where this world he came into and the world received him not, and so turned around and turned their backs on him and crucified him. That's the world he came down to. Why? Because of you. That's the love of God. So he's easy to love. But this is love, is he loved me. And I'm not lovely. I'm not worthy of his love. You know, I can pretend and act, but I know what goes on in my heart, and I know what goes on in my head. I know the things I've done. I know the things I've said. I've known the places I've gone. You know, if you knew everything about me, you probably wouldn't like me much. And we get really good at kind of pretending and kind of hiding. Because you know what it's like, right? I mean, if people knew exactly everything about you, I wouldn't probably like you either. Yet God knows everything about me. He knows every bad choice I've made, every shameful thought. He knows I'm going to let him down. He knows I'm going to fail. He knows I'm going to miss opportunities. He knows my shame. And he loves me anyways. Wow. It's an old song. It says, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's never been a friend such as he. Why would you turn that away? Because you don't deserve that love, and yet he gives it freely. Never doubt that. Why would I return this wonderful gift? Why would I turn my back on this Jesus who loves me so much? And he loves you. Because you don't deserve it, but he gives it anyways. Folks, it's an indescribable gift. You have received new life. You will never be alone. You can rejoice in your troubles. In here, Jesus loves you. And folks, you have a hope for the future. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through, the old song says. I can still hear my mom singing that. If heaven's not my home, then what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know, I turn on the news and I watch what's going on in this world. You know what? I'm glad this world's not my home. I look at the struggle and how this world is turning its back on God left and right. This world is not my home. I remember years ago talking to someone, they're like, I hope the Lord doesn't come back because this is where I keep my stuff. And I'm like, dude, you know what? There's nothing in this world I want to take with me. You can have it all. Just give me Jesus. You know, I thought when I was younger that I'd make a huge difference in this world. Oh, watch out, world, here I come. I've kind of given up on that dream. Lord, in this world, just give me you. That's all I need. And in this, I have a hope of a better world. Week after week, we pray for the sick. We pray for those who have cancer. We pray for those who are touched by death. Our hearts are broken. Oh, Lord, come quickly. We talk about this in Sunday school. For the unsaved, this world is as good as it gets. Let that sink in for a moment. That's sad. Imagine this world is it. And yet, because of Jesus Christ, I got a home in glory that can outshine the sun. The promise is given in Revelation. Whenever you're discouraged, whenever you're down, take a sneak peek at the end of the book and see how it ends. Guess what? Jesus wins. And God will wipe away every tear from your eye. There should be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Folks, take it to the bank. Jesus is coming again. The Bible says he's coming and his reward is with him. The Bible says there's going to be a day where we will know as we are known. I won't struggle with sin anymore. I have to trade this old body in for a new one. It's interesting, we go through phases. You know, when you were young, you go out and work all day or play hard all day. You went to bed, you woke up just feeling fine. Then you get to a point where you kind of work and play pretty hard all day, and you kind of ache by the end, but you go to bed and you wake up refreshed. Then you get to a point where you have aches and pains going to bed, and you wake up, they're still there when you wake up. I think I've gotten to the last phase. I go to bed feeling pretty good. Now I wake up sore because I've slept wrong. This world, this body is falling apart. Someone said anything after 40, the check engine light just comes on. You know, the last few weeks, you know, between colds and sniffles and shingles, the Tabor household has just been, we're just like the plague in our house. It's just like, oh, come on. I want to know, can you lose weight just by blowing your nose all the time? If so, I must have lost about 50 pounds this week. Oh, right? This won't go away. Even so, come quickly, Lord. Take this body. I got no use for it. Take my stuff. Nothing's that important. Folks, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. That's all I want. It's a gift I don't deserve, but it's the best gift I could have. In this world, we turn around and we need to be thankful to God for this indescribable gift of His Son. Pack away the trees, pack away the lights. Pack away your Christmas duck. But keep Jesus out. Keep him close. Enjoy him every day. Because he is the best gift you got. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And in that word, it tells us that you came into this world to seek and save that which is lost. Lord, I am so lost without you. Lord, I pray in this middle of this Christmas season, Lord, that we have received the gift of your Son to live with it every day. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this indescribable gift. Lord, we ask these things in your name. Amen.